He was born so far away. So the story's told. We remember Christmas Day, when winter days grow cold. With the time it passes by, we put away the train. Then we live and wonder why we can't remember him. The Christmas star shines once a year, and then it fades away. Keep the spirit in your heart. It's Christmas every day. It's not the bell, and it's not the snow, and it's not the gifts we get, but he was born so long ago. It's easy to forget. Man can't go alone. We get lost along the way, but he can bring us home. Remember him throughout the without the star above. He left us all a Christmas gift. He left the gift of love. The Christmas star shines once a year, and then it fades away. And it's Christmas every day.
Dear friends, welcome to worship today on this first Sunday after Christmas. We hope that you had a wonderful, peace-filled, blessed Christmas wherever you are. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Would you join me in today's call to worship? A boy has been born for us. A child has been given to us, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace. Once we were no people, now we are God's people. Once we walked in darkness, now we have seen a great light. And we come to light candles again. Because we're still in the season of Christmas, we can light the Advent wreath again. And then, following that, the Christ candle, remembering that Jesus is the light of all mankind, that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not and will not put it out. Praise be to God. Let's pray. It may seem naive in a world of grief to choose to live in joy. It may seem foolish in a world where solemnity is power to sing and dance to a different tune. It may seem cruel in a world of suffering and injustice to speak of light and celebration. But you have come, Jesus, to bring joy into our grief, light into our darkness, singing into our mourning. And it is an act of healing and proclamation to believe and embrace the joy you offer. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Hallelujah. Amen. Friends, come to the manger. Come and confess all to the baby born new for us. Let's pray to our Saviour, our Messiah. Let's pray the prayer of confession. Holy God, you offer us new life in the baby at Bethlehem, but we confess that we have made something trivial, something sentimental out of Christmas. Your light comes into the world, and we see only the pretty lights on trees. You shine in the darkness, but we turn away from the darkness of our world and miss you. Your word is made flesh, but we would like something nicer, more spiritual than the humanity of God with us in the flesh. Forgive us, God. Strengthen us with the hope that cannot be packed away with the Christmas ornaments. May we who have beheld this glory hold it in our hearts forever. Amen.
Fear not. I bring you tidings of great joy for all people. Christ our Savior is born. And as Jesus enters fully into our lives, we are forgiven, friends. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen.
A reading from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. This is the word of the Lord.
A few days before Christmas, I was asked to take part in a poll. The question, what's your favorite part about Christmas? There were lots of options. Christmas baking, Christmas dinner, Christmas morning, opening the presents, caroling. It was a long list. But my favorite part of my Christmas celebrations actually wasn't on the list. I'm sorry to tell you that my favorite part of Christmas is actually not the services we do here on Christmas Eve. I love them, I really do, but they're not the top thing on my list. My favorite part of all that makes up my Christmas celebrations is actually a time that comes late on Christmas Eve. When the services are over, the presents have been all laid under the tree, the kitchen has been tidied up in preparation for the next day, and I get to sit down in our living room in the quiet with all the lights turned off and only the Christmas tree lit. I just get to enjoy that sense of peace and quiet stillness. Maybe it's a minister thing that makes me love this. The work is done and all we've spent weeks preparing for is over. Maybe it's a mom thing. For a while in that time, the house is quiet. Or maybe it's actually some lingering childhood memory of the excitement that I used to feel as a small girl on Christmas Eve. I'm not sure all what goes into informing my love for that moment, but I can tell you that I look forward to it every year. And conversely, I confess that I feel the opposite way about the end of Boxing Day. It makes me a little sad because it's all over again for another year. The end of big events can be a little bit like that, a little sad because all that you have been anticipating is now in the rearview mirror. Well, for that and for many other reasons, I love that this is today's reading for us, because I think Simeon and Anna certainly have a lesson to teach me, and maybe to teach you as well, that all that was part of the celebrations around Jesus' birth was not over when the manger was once again just a feed trough. Jesus would have been about 6 weeks old when all of this happened. Faithful Jewish families observed some very specific traditions when babies were born. First, if the child was a boy, when he was 8 days old, he would have been circumcised. And then after 40 days, if that son was also a firstborn child, the parents would bring that baby to present him to the Lord. And finally, whether that was a first child or an eighth child, appropriate sacrifices needed to be made in order to purify the mother from the messy realities of childbirth. Now, Mary and Joseph were a faithful Jewish couple, and in part we know that because they were observing these traditions when they traveled to Jerusalem and made their way to the temple on this day. So we might be thinking that all of the excitement ended when the shepherds left after their visit to the manger, but it didn't. This happened 6 weeks later, and it was exciting in its own right for everyone involved, but especially for Simeon and Anna. They both had quite literally spent their entire lives waiting for this day to come. Well, as Luke tells us, Simeon was a devout man. The Holy Spirit had been leading him for years and had told him that before he died, he was going to get to see the Messiah. Simeon had been waiting for this for a very long time. And on this particular day, he was moved to go to the temple, moved by the Spirit. Do we know how that happened? No. Do we think he knew what was about to happen? We don't actually know that. But we do know that he had learned to trust in the Spirit's leading. And so when he had that sense of being prompted to go, he went. And Anna? Well, Anna was a prophet, and she had spent many years at the temple worshiping and praying and fasting. And because of that, she happened to be there that day as the Holy Family arrived. When Mary and Joseph brought Jesus into the part of the temple where they were able to present their sacrifices, both Simeon and Anna were there, and they saw them. And as the story reads, the Holy Spirit ensured that they both knew right away that Jesus was their long-promised Messiah. Now, Luke didn't record specifically what Anna said when she saw Jesus. We only know that she spoke about him to anyone there who was listening and to anyone who was ready for the news that the Messiah had come. But we do know how Simeon responded. As the story goes, he took the baby in his arms and spontaneously began praising God. Simeon's personal mission had been a strange one. His call seems to have been quite simply to wait for the Messiah to come. And as he held Jesus in his arms, he clearly knew that his mission was complete, so he could die in peace. Now, to be clear, when Simeon saw Jesus, he realized that his part in God's great story was done. But we also know by what he said that Simeon could see that with Jesus' birth, a long-awaited part of God's story was just beginning. He was a devout man who knew God's promises. He knew God had promised to send a Messiah who would rescue and save God's people. And he must have been well familiar with the oodles of prophecies recorded in the Hebrew scriptures that spoke about the Messiah's coming and about what the Messiah would do. Hundreds of years before this, prophets had said that a son would be born and that all authority would rest on his shoulders. They'd given remarkably specific details that matched the stories of Jesus' birth. Like that this child would be born to a virgin, that he would be born in Bethlehem, and that kings would come and bow down to him and present him with gifts. So even though Jesus was just 6 weeks old at this point, there were enough details about his birth that matched those prophecies for Simeon to realize that it was all coming to pass. He was clear that the baby he was holding was that promised Messiah. And hearing that Jesus' birth had happened exactly, remarkably, as God had foretold it would, that assured Simeon that all that God has promised will happen. In Jesus, God was moving to rescue us and our world, to heal us from all of the darkness that plagues us. So things weren't over when Jesus was born. They were just getting started. Simeon knew that. And we can too. Which makes me realize that my feelings about the end of Christmas are not very faithful at all. Instead of being sad that it's over, I really should be excited about the prospect of what is to come. Since Jesus was born, God has been on the move, working out his plan to rescue us all. It's happening, and it will continue to happen, just as God has promised. Which means that we can look forward to this new year, not sad that Christmas is over, but excited about what is to come. We can look forward with the same kind of trusting expectation and hope that Simeon had, watching and waiting for signs of God's moving, for signs of light and healing and wholeness coming around us and within us. Even at 6 weeks old, Jesus was quite literally the embodiment of all of God's promises. And those promises began to be fulfilled when he was born. And because he was born, we can know what Simeon and Anna knew well, that those promises will all become tangibly and fully real for us when Jesus comes again. Amen.
Child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard.
Good morning, my friends. As always, I begin with a quote, but I want to share with you what this means to me. Searching for the perfect quote takes me through a journey of emotion, learning, and awe. I'm so grateful to be able to stand before you on New Year's Eve offering our prayers and thanks to our loving God. The quote comes from Peggy Tony Horton. Each year, we have before us a brand new book of 365 blank pages. Let us fill them with all the forgotten things from last year, the words we forgot to say, the love we forgot to show, and the charity we forgot to offer. To me, New Year's Eve has always been a time of gratitude for all we have received this past year and a time of hope for the new year. Now please join me in prayer. Today's prayers are responsive. The bidding is as we pray to the Father, and the response is, Lord, send your Spirit. Loving Lord, thank you for another year of life and all that you've provided for us last year and for the blessings you bestowed upon our lives. We lay before you all the disappointments and unfinished work, and we ask for your mercy, peace, and joy as we look to the year ahead. You have given us family and friends who bless us every day with kind words and actions. May we all delight in the gift of your presence as we discern the journey you have for us in this new year. As we pray to the Father, Lord, send your Spirit. Loving Lord, we thank you for the loving and caring community of which we are all a part of here in St. Stephen's. We thank you for the gifts of our spiritual leaders, Diane, Phil, and Foster, who open our eyes so that we may see you more clearly. We thank you for the backbone of St. Stephen's, Fiona and Adele. We thank you for the dedication and talent of our choir and musicians who bring joy to our hearts every week. We thank you for the many volunteers who are the lifeblood of St. Stephen's. You have all touched our very soul in 2023. May the Holy Spirit touch each of you with our gratitude. As we pray to the Father, Lord, send your Spirit. Loving Lord, we have seen sorrow this past year as dear friends and family have joined you in the eternal light. Help us to understand that life with you is eternal, and our time here on earth is but a fleeting glance in the eternal glory that is you. Help bring peace this year to those left behind with the knowledge that those that have passed are next to you. As we pray to the Father, Lord, send your Spirit. Loving God, we thank you for surrounding us with the beauty that we see, the waters of the earth, for the life-sustaining rains, lakes and oceans, mountains and all your creatures. Keep us mindful of how precious these are and how vulnerable they are. Help us to learn from our mistakes as we have made this as stewards of the earth this past year and how to become better guardians of your gift of this earth. As we pray to the Father, Lord, send your Spirit. Loving God, we thank you for this year, a year spent in your presence. Let us give thanks for the fellowship we have here together within our church. Give us the courage and strength to help one another during times of change as we travel on our journey of life. May you bless the future of this, our church, its family, and all who visit here. We thank you for listening always. And if you may now allow me to finish with another quote, this one from an unknown source. May God make your year a happy one, not by shielding us from all sorrows and pain, but by strengthening us to bear it as it comes. Not by making our path easy, but by making us sturdy to travel any path. Not by taking hardships from us, but by taking fear from our heart. Not by granting us unbroken sunshine, but by keeping our face bright even in the shadows. Not by making our life always pleasant, but by showing us when people in their causes need us most, and by making us anxious to be there to help. God's love, peace, hope, and joy to us for the year ahead. Now please join me as we pray the prayer the Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, thank you for your givings. Thank you for your time, your tithes, your offerings. Thank you for helping St. Stephen's to run the ministries that we do here. You make a difference, and I thank God for you. Would you pray with me the prayer over the gifts this week? O God, you birth abundant life, and we thank you for the birth we celebrate this season. In response to your great labor of love, we offer our gifts. As we open ourselves to you, may your love be born in us this Christmastide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, go in peace and love to care for one another in the name of Christ. And may the blessing of God, who established heaven and earth, fill your hearts and pour forth from you upon all people. May the blessing of the Lord, who is born anew each Christmas time, call you towards a new tomorrow. And may the blessing of the Spirit, who refreshes and renews all creation, guide and lead you as you enter the new year. Amen.
Your baby boy is Lord of all creatures.